Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark, even though it's kind of mid-afternoon. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bow. We are coming to you after the Dallas Mavericks really just beat the brakes off the Cleveland Cavaliers, 130 to 120. How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Kind of playing hard matters in the NBA is my first thought.
Still matters. I want to talk about the Mavericks, but I'm going to lead with this. The Cleveland Cavaliers are not a serious basketball team. They are not going to make a difference in the playoffs. They're going to be a first round out. Like, that was gross watching how they, like they had 48 minutes to get their shit together and they couldn't. And there was a, I don't know who was guarding him, but it was in the fourth quarter. Brandon Williams gets a nice little floater to go down one of his four field goals today, and he pump fakes somebody from the 3-point line, and that guy jumped in the air, it looked like a cartoon where he's like woo, and then and this is with the game within reach, and it's like, if you don't know the scouting report on Brandon Williams, you're not to be taken seriously. Like, I'm sorry, it's just, you're not. Brandon Williams is a replacement level point guard, and he carved up the Cavs in 24 minutes. He had 12 points, and you know, yes, he's a negative five, but five assists, do you have any turnovers? Yeah, he had zero turnovers, and really just sort of exploited how lethargic their effort was tonight. And again, Mavs podcast, I'm not mad they won, but it's like that really, it's like, why did they even bother playing if the Cavs are going to play like that? Like, that was just this stupid. And I'm not really like a tanking enthusiast because I just know they're going to win games. But like, the Cavs were never in that one. The Mavericks really beat the shit out of them with no, I guess that's not fair. Not no, but when Klay Thompson doesn't play, the gravity of this entire team changes. And for the Mavericks to shoot 50% from three means the Cavs just didn't give a shit.
yeah. I mean, obviously the Mavericks don't win without an outlier. You know, it's an outlier shooting performance from them, but also they got good looks because the Cavs couldn't stay in front of anyone on the Mavericks.
Anyone.
The Mavericks beat them off the dribble routinely. I mean, you just look at, you know, the Mavericks had 9 offensive rebounds as a team. They had 13 steals. They had 5 blocks. They had 24 fast break points. That's all effort. Those are all effort and hustle categories. Like, this was a Saturday afternoon start. These games usually always lead to weirdness. And it was obvious from the opening tip that like Cleveland beat the hell out of the Mavericks on Friday. And they're like, okay, like this is our day off. And that happens in the NBA. And that's kind of like the thing I hate the most about the regular season is you get these games where it's just like one team just like, I'm not clocking in today. You know, I'm taking a PTO day. And that's where you get a little frustrated. Cause again, it's like, well, why are we even watching?
Right.
And don't blame the Mavericks. Like, nope. They're what they do. It's been on the scouting report all season. Like, that's the number one thing. They play hard. Like, and if you can't handle that, then you're going to get beat and you're going to get embarrassed in front of your home crowd. The Mavericks they entered this game. What? Lost 19 of their last 22.
That was their ninth road win of the season.
They haven't beat a winning team since Golden State on January 22nd.
Wow.
That's like 3 months. Almost 2 months, whatever it is, like you know, and again, we're not mad that the
Mavericks won. it's more just
you know, Cleveland
bewildered.
Yeah, Cleveland just didn't Cleveland didn't want to play. You know, well, James Harden had as many field goals made as John Bukaitis, or
just the most James Harden fucking performance I have seen.
Nice that preview game of his playoff
yeah, let's circle, you know, we could talk about the way this game went, but let's just say that the Mavericks were up early, often, and repelled every Cleveland attempt at a comeback. And I think the guy we sort of have to start with, he led the team in plus minus tonight. It was probably, in my opinion, and I could be off here, so I'm interested to see if you think I'm wrong. This was PJ Washington's best performance since the calendar turned over into 2026. He had 20 points, 11 rebounds. He was 8 of 16 from the floor. He hit 3 of 4 from 3. And then he had 5 steals and 1 block. 6 stocks for PJ is a huge deal. And I think like the Mavericks, they won points off of turnovers 25-9. And I think that starts and ends with PJ Washington.
Yeah. And he started at center, by the way.
That's the start of the game. Sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. They didn't. The Mavericks played 16 minutes of Marvin Bagley and 2 minutes of Dwight Powell. So that's 18 minutes of big on the floor, like actual big. And I'm actually like excited. Like, you know, PJ was great. I think the thing that worried me about PJ was a couple games ago when the Mavericks were losing, him and Gafford looked completely checked out of a game that they lost big. And I was like, all right, if the veterans are checked out, like, why, you know, what are we doing here? Let's just play, you know, all the young guys. Let's play Cisse 25 minutes if these guys don't want to, if these guys have given up on the season, which it's not even really their fault. Like, the season's over, and these are guys that were starting 2 years ago. They were starting on a finals team, and now they're looking at their another really awful season. So I get it if they were kind of like, man, this sucks, and you could kind of see it in their body language. But he played terrific. I think the spacing helped. We talked about how Flag, Marshall, Washington on the floor is probably not ideal. And I think the Mavericks, maybe there was some admittance of that by playing a small ball lineup, because I think a lot of that is if you're playing Flag, Marshall, and Washington and a center, you probably can't, those three probably can't coexist. But when PJ's the center, that changes everything, because now you've got a stretch five, basically. And that changes the way your space, your floor is spaced, and you're playing a real point guard in addition to that. And I thought PJ, PJ kind of kicked Evan Mobley's ass for a really while.
Really did.
That was cool.
And so just to be snarky here, the Mavericks leap to number one in the draft, get Carlos Boozer, and play a front line of PJ Washington, Cooper Flagg, and Carlos Boozer, and win the NBA championship. only sort of kidding, because it's like that's the sort of weird shit you can do if you actually leap up, where it's like if you have a whole front line of 6'9" guys, it's fun. It's just things get a little weird. Anyway, I think I was just sort of happy for PJ, because I'm not sure if he's a Maverick in the long term. Probably not, just based off his contract, age, etc. But the Mavericks also need him to play well and remind teams that he is a functional NBA player. And he's just gone a long time between ankle injuries, off the court stuff. It was nice to see him have a game that mattered in a game that mattered. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Where are we on time right now? We're already 8 minutes into it. All right. You know what? We always bump Cooper to the second part of the show. Let's keep him in the first part so people can cut out early if they want to. Cooper Flag, really good.
Yeah.
This was a game, 33 minutes, 27 points. That's something else. Like, he still needs to shoot more threes. We had a couple of instances in our Slack where it's like, guys, Cooper, come on. Stop taking these ugly floaters and just shoot the rock. But tonight he was in his playmaking bag. I'm gonna take a gander and think that 10 assists has to be a career high. I'll go search the game log real quick just to see if I'm wrong. But he was just doing all sorts of stuff tonight, and we really got the okay. He had 11 against the Lakers. So
yeah, he's had a bunch of double digit assist games.
Yeah, no, only one. Shockingly, that's the only other one. But he's had a bunch of 9 point, like 9 and 8 assist games. This is the second double digit one.
Oh, okay. I guess I misheard the broadcast. I think they said double. Oh, I need to update a recap. I thought the broadcast said he's had 10 25-point 10 assist games and the rest of the rookie class had 9, but maybe that was like like 25-point double doubles.
Rebound things. Yeah, but
yeah. So yeah,
that would maybe be right. I'm just looking through the lineup here. Anyways, that's something easy you can update. But I had a great time watching him force the effort. Like, I think probably the thing that I'm really taking away is that Kenny Atkinson got sort of his pants pulled down by Cooper late in the game as they were trying to go and push the pace to get the Mavericks to give up the ball. They put Max Strus on Cooper 70 and 75 feet from the goal, and Cooper made one dribble move and was past Strus. And one of the things I think that teams are really failing to understand is that Cooper Flagg is literally fast. He is like, he attacks downhill so hard, And he doesn't do the thing where he drives hard for 10 feet and slows up. Once he gets a head full of steam, you have to put a man in his way to stop him. And he was putting the defense in rotation pretty early tonight, which is how he was able to get these 10 assists. Pincognito 1938 in the chat says the stat that the broadcast said was 25 points and 5 assists. So that will be
an
update. Thank you for that, by the way. Pincognito, that's actually, that way saves Josh from having to dig through stuff. There's just so much about Cooper's game that I find myself wondering what kind of guard he's going to pair well with. Because right now, I really do feel like this Mavericks offense is, to a certain extent, forcing Cooper into a, I don't know, isolationist role. Maybe that sounds like a foreign policy position. It's not for me watching him, even though I do like watching him beat and abuse defenders, but it's a little too like Luka light sometimes with the actions that they run. That said, when he puts his head down, it's very fun. It's just very fun.
Yeah. Last two games, he's looked more like the Cooper that we saw before he got hurt, which is great. Coincidentally, they've started a point guard these last two games. Again, it's not even about like having like this playmaker setting him up. It's more just like, can he start possessions off the ball and catch on the move, give him a head of steam going downhill instead of giving him the ball and asking him to start from scratch. Just makes things a little bit easier. And it doesn't even really change like where he's getting his shots. It just makes those shots a little easier. And he's still making plays. Like, it's not like you're taking his playmaking away. In fact, it probably makes things a little bit easier when he's got a head of steam, because it's drawing attention a little bit easier, as opposed to when you just give him the ball and let him isolate or pick and roll, and the defense can kind of like load up on him. And it's harder to load up on him when he's flashing off an off ball, you know, curl or pin down and catching the ball, and Nimhard's giving it to him on the move, and now you got the defense scrambling off that action, which then opens up, you know, passing lanes that probably aren't there if he's just starting and ending possessions every single time down the floor. I like that. And I like, you know, playing small ball. You know, Cooper was great. And another thing about this game was, like, we talked about this before, if we're going to like play these games, like, if they're going to play these games, the season's over, they're going to be bad, if they're going to lose a lot of games, this is the time to do stuff. Yeah, play PJ Washington at center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, play Ryan Nimhard, the guy that you signed to a full-time contract. Why don't you start him and just let him sink or swim? Like, do all this stuff. Don't do the stuff that you were trying to do when the season started, because it's a different season now. Like, let's throw shit at the wall, see what sticks. This is the time to do it. And that makes it, I mean, and selfishly, that's more fun for me because there's more stuff that we can watch. But also, I think that's just a better use of everyone's time on the floor, too. But Cooper was great, and his passing has been great for like a month now, and it's just, you know, he just keeps getting better with it.
Well, and like the lob throwing, I think it's going to be a fun thing for him to work on. Against the first Cleveland game, he threw like six, like, I'm exaggerating. He threw some really awful lobs, but that's like a practice thing. If you just don't do it that much anyway. We have to tease the Mavs social media team for sharing. The flag has landed with a white flag. Like, do you not know what white flag? Like, I just, it's, the answer is no, they don't know what it means. But anyway, it just made me laugh. So I had to show that on the screen there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll talk about a few more things, and we'll get on with our Sunday here. Thanks so much for listening to Pod Maverick. You know, there's three ways to support the show. The first is tell your friends. If you know any other weird Mavericks people that are still watching all these games in earnest in your real life, you should tell them to follow our show. We are for the weird ones. The second way to support the show, there's some links directly in our show notes if you just want to give us money. We like that. We will take it. But no pressure, of course. The third way is to listen to the ads. I know that, you know, there's anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes of ads, depending on which podcast you're listening to. But that's actually how Josh and I get, you know, get paid. So we'd appreciate that. All right. We'll be right back after this break, and then we will talk some more. All right. Thanks so much. While you're here, if you're listening to YouTube Live, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Josh and I record after every game. It's become occasional, largely because I just don't want these things to become bitch fests, and there's just not been that much to talk about. Host a secondary live show, where you can come talk. It's a Mavs party or group therapy, depending on the win loss. And also, while I have your attention, if you would consider downloading the app Offside, it is a video venture I'm part of. And I think it's a really fun app. It's a very fun app. And anyways, I'd appreciate it if you do that. Okay. What else was interesting to you about this one?
Oh, boy.
How do we say the Greek guy's name? I wasn't even
listening. Yeah. Pekaitis?
Pulakaitis? I don't want to. We're just going to call him John.
I mean,
that's his first name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his 8-0 run was what blew the game open.
Yes, it was.
I mean, Cleveland kept hanging around just enough. And then he scored 8 straight points. And I think that got it up to like 15-point lead toward the end of the fourth quarter. And that was it. Like Cleveland wasn't really going to come back after that. Two-way guy. Left-handed, which is always kind of fun.
Very fun.
He was a plus 10 in his 15 minutes. He had as many made field goals as James Harden. He doesn't seem terribly interested in passing, but that's whatever. Like, it was fun. I don't know how much more he's going to play. He might not score 10 points for the rest of the season.
It was the first points in the NBA game, I'm pretty sure, unless he did so the other day.
That's cool.
It's fun.
I don't know if there's anything more to take away, because I mean, he hit 2 spot up threes and then made a really cool pull up midi. I don't know if that's a sign the Mavericks should play him more, but they probably should just for fun. But to me, the biggest thing was, you know, playing PJ at center. And I hope they do more stuff like that. I hope they keep starting a point guard, and I hope they try more stuff like PJ at center and just experiment and get weird, because the brunt of the experimenting has been like Cooper Flagg at point. It's like, okay, we got that one. Let's try a different one. But yeah, I mean, they were playing really hard. I can't like that Ryan Nimhard diving on the floor for that loose ball in the fourth quarter after Harden lost it when PJ poked it away, and that got them a fast break almost immediately. You know, it was an afternoon game on the road. Like, that's hard to probably get into as a team.
Yep.
You know, starting your day that early and you're on the road. So I credit to them. And the other thing I'll say is, like, anyone bitching about this game and like hoping the Mavericks should have lost it, like, I just don't care anymore. And I'm a believer that these are more foundational culture setting games than losing it. Like, would you rather this or like be the Washington Wizards and giving up 83 points to
and plus the Mavericks structurally, like, if you want to be mad, I suppose you get mad in hindsight that they just didn't do more at the trade deadline. But yeah, this team has too many functional players to do like to go on like a 13 game losing streak. I mean, the fact that they lost 8 in a row.
I mean, 19 of 22 is pretty impressive losing
with the guys that they had playing. Yeah, it was really something. I did want to highlight, this was Max Christie's highest assist total since a December 29th game. He had a really cool dime to a dunking Cooper Flagg. I think it was in the first quarter, maybe it was in the second quarter, but just Max being a more than a shooter. He doesn't necessarily have to be up like a playmaker per se, but if he's going to play 30 plus minutes, he's got to be able to make like basic reads within the offense. And that's going to be part of the evolution with him. If he's a starting guard versus a guy coming off the bench.
Yep.
Najee Marshall is really good at basketball. Like, they just got to figure that out. I know there's some folks out there are like, oh, it's a bunch of empty stats nonsense. And I don't know. I think he's such a unique player in the modern NBA. I'll be kind of sad if they trade him. I'll be sad if they don't trade him. Because he's just, you know, he's a good player at a good contract. I know we've talked about this before, but you know, he came through tonight with a couple of, he had like an and one off an offensive board.
Yeah. That was like another play where it was like, yeah, man, they just give a shit. They give a shit more than Cleveland. They just give
like
a shit.
Just really like that sort of thing.
There's a lot of guys on this roster that's like, it's probably good to have them for the locker room, the chemistry, the culture. And then there's also a part of me that's like, these guys deserve to play basketball with stakes.
Yep.
Like Najee Marshall should be impacting a playoff run this season. PJ Washington should as well. Even Klay Thompson. That part's kind of a bummer. But if they want to stay here and they like it here, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Well, is there anything else that's worth a damn?
I don't know. I just, Cleveland, man, this is funny because, again, we talk about this, like we view the league through the prism of the Mavericks. So whenever a good team plays the Mavericks and loses or they play bad, we're just like, oh, so that's not they're frauds. And it's like I've watched maybe three Cleveland games this season, but this one game is enough for me to judge their entire body of work because that's how I view the league is through the Mavericks. And if you can't handle the Mavericks, then it's like I'm supposed to take you seriously in April and May. But other than that, you know, I don't know. It was entertaining, at least. Entertaining game.
Well, before we punt off, obviously the Mavericks play again tomorrow night. This is a 3-4 night span. They play the Pelicans in what's going to be the kind of the defining tank game. If they beat the Pelicans, it's like, all right, you know, I'm not going to get this is going to be one of the final games heading down the stretch, maybe Portland, and then definitely Chicago on the last day of the year where they might literally be favored. So just sort of gird your loins for these games. Like I like watching the Pelicans play. They're a wild team. They don't make any sense. So that game could be fun. But just sort of looking ahead at the schedule here, just to talk about what we have in Mavs money. I'll probably reiterate this over the next few days. The Mavs play Monday, then they play Wednesday against Atlanta at home. And then because Thursday, Friday is the start of the NCAA tournament, we're going to have a lot at Mavs Moneyball covering that. And I want you to click in. You can head over to MavsMoneyball.com and in the sections, I'll highlight this for people while we're doing the YouTube show here. Let me share my screen. While you're in here, there is a section here that we need to have edited. I thought my manager was supposed to edit this for me, but there's going to be something in here called draft. And you can actually like Google Mavs Moneyball and then draft, and you can see our draft section. We have a lot of things going on, written a whole bunch about different players. If you're all interested in sort of backfilling your learning log, we have 3 to 4 guys who are just watching all sorts of college stuff. Particularly if you want to prepare yourself for the Darius Acuff Jr. wars that are to come. He is a Arkansas freshman who just is an outstanding college basketball player who I think he's a smaller looking guy, but like buff is all get out. And I don't think that we're really going to know what to do with him because he's probably going to fall within the Mavericks draft range, you know, depending on lottery stuff. And if he's actually 6'3", he's probably the guy that they take. If he's not 6'3", then it's going to become like a ground war in Asia on the internet where everyone's just like fighting each other because they like him. He's a gutsy guy. Great playmaker, but kind of heinous defender. But we'll see. There's a lot of stuff to be watching about if you are interested in the Mavericks still. Like I get it if you're kind of tuned out. And we'll see where we go from here. So do you have anything you want to add? Then we'll just cut loose.
No, we can cut loose. Let everyone enjoy their Sunday evening. If you're listening live.
That's right. All right, everybody, be good. Thanks so much for hanging out. Talk to everyone soon and go Mavs.